praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse number 10, is where I'd like to turn your attention. Praise the Lord. What an awesome thing it is. Amen. Welcome to the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I know our world, now this is not really my message, but it is my message. The world has turned the celebration of the birth of Christ all crooked. You know, they made it about this fat guy lives supposedly lives somewhere in the North Pole. No, you know, that's all fictitious, worldly, carnal deviations from the real meaning. We got to keep our mind focused on what the Word of God really says. Amen. Now, I know in our local assembly there are those that enjoy the celebration of Christmas. Well, okay. Keep it in order, and it's good. Amen. Don't put carnality first. Don't put ungodly things first. Keep it in order. And there are those in our local assembly that realize scriptures do not tell us to celebrate the birth of Christ. It's true. That's an honest truth. We're not commanded in the Word of God. You're like communion and foot washing. It actually tells us to do that. We are commanded, do ye likewise, you know. So there's things in the Word that are commanded. You must repent. You must be baptized, be filled with the Holy Ghost. There are things that are unquestionably laid down in law. The Word of God tells us. Amen. But this celebration is just because Jesus changed my life. Amen. I'm so glad that he came. Amen. And the scriptures give us a very clear depiction of how that happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to speak of just a little portion of that today. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse number 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. My topic today is Bethlehem Roads. You'll understand in a little while. Bethlehem Roads. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I could possibly convey some small portion, Lord, of the meaning, Lord, of this great event, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what it meant to, Lord, even have you to be with us, God, that you came unto us, Lord. What a great and spectacular thing it is, Lord, that you did for us. Lord, I pray today, God, your anointing upon me. Help me, Lord, put words in my mouth. Open our understanding, Lord, to know about you. Lord, that it would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Here we are. It's the last few hurried days for your preparations to be completed. We all have to walk our way through this culture that we live in that is awash with distractions, if you will, from the Word, from the Gospel, from Jesus Christ. Our world is awash with distractions, wants to show you things as if they are glamour. And there's so many shiny things or gadgets to get your attention. There's so much stuff that people have today. We got to make it through all that. Amen. You know what? This may seem a little strange, but Christmas, or the celebration of this day, of our time right now, can be and may well be, I hope I can say this word right, oxymoronic. That's a big word for me. I'm kind of a little word guy. Webster, if you look that up, oxymoron. It's a combination of contrary or incongruous words, as cruel kindness. They have different contexts. You've heard these kinds of words before. We've all heard them. You've seen the sign in the grocery store, jumbo shrimp. Long shorts. One of my favorite, fresh frozen. Pretty ugly. Holy war. How about this one? Carnal Christian. Man, some of these things, they don't go together. Christmas can be a sort of oxymoronic, because our day is not like that day. You know, we sing the song. There is a song, Silent Night, Holy Night. You've heard it. It's a song sung at this time of year. It's a celebration of that night that the birth of Jesus Christ came to mankind. It's nothing like our mainstream society today. It's just so far from it. We hesitate. Some even procrastinate until the very last minute. There will be shoppers in the stores this week frantically looking for something that they don't even know what it is. Or they'll wait until the very last minute to try to get the best bargain. It's ironic that so many in our culture want to take Christ out of Christmas. You know, they want to make it other things. If you are going to have a celebration, I hope it will be that Jesus Christ changed my life. Amen. That I know who Jesus is. I'm so glad that He came. Amen. Most retail stores, you know, they talk about Black Friday because they start making money at the end of November. They'll go 11 months in the red, and then in the last little bit of the year, they finally break even or maybe go ahead. I'm so glad I'm not in retail. Praise the Lord. Our world is filled with the sounds of cash registers ringing and boxes and shopping carts bumping into one another, parking lots filled with people and horns honking and traffic. Pots and pans rattle in the kitchen as the big meal is in preparation. It sometimes can seem chaotic. These are the sounds of our modern day evenings and nights right now. But if you bring your mind back and remember, look to that time recorded in the Bible in Bethlehem. The day, the night that Jesus Christ was born on earth, it was indeed holy. Angels visited shepherds, declaring the good news. A Savior is born. Amen. We recognize the birth of the Christ at this time of year. The birth of our Savior. Yes, He was at that time, on that day, born in the flesh, an infant, a child. And yet, even when He was that child in a manger, He was also the Messianic King. He was come to be the salvation of the world. That's why He came. He was both God and man in the flesh. Wow. It is this very combination of opposites that makes the story of His birth so interesting and so compelling. Hey, in the midst of all this busy season of coming and going and hurrying and scurrying of programs and of banquets, we need a fresh look at the events in Bethlehem. It truly was a miracle. Why did God choose Bethlehem? It was such a unlikely place or an unlikely choice. To some it may have seemed it was just a little grubby village overrun with transients who eyed each other with suspicion, had a reputation of being unkind to strangers, innkeepers who overcharged perhaps. Oh yeah, I don't know. Bethlehem at that time was not a tourist event or tourist attraction yet. It would be in our day. But it wasn't back then. The very word Bethlehem means place of bread in Hebrew. Because in the middle of a dry, barren desert, that's where Bethlehem was. Bethlehem was a small oasis where they grew figs and grain and olives. It wasn't much to look at, but it was a place that provided the basic human needs. Bread. They could be on their traveling and they could stop in that town and refresh themselves. Get bread and water. It was in this place that the bread of life would be introduced unto the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, beginning at 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound. Which to confound the things which are mighty. Excuse me. And the base things of the world. And things which are despised. Which hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring not. Bring to not things that are. But why, God? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God had a plan that He was fulfilling. Bethlehem was a symbol of the great extent to which God would go to reach mankind. It was a symbol of His far-reaching love. And once you have visited the Christ of Bethlehem, life should never be the same again. When Jesus arrives, His presence has a tendency to stir things up. Matthew 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The Magi were following the star, looking for direction of where to worship. Could you imagine? Study the scriptures. Study the stars and know it's time right now to find him. Let's go and find him. What an incredible mission that would have been. Amen. Even that they did find him, it's miraculous. It scared Herod. He was scared because of the idea that these wise men knew that there was a king born. I'm thinking, Herod is thinking, in my kingdom. You know, to him it would be a threat. How can there be another king? He demanded of the Pharisees, "Where is this baby to be born?" Of course, they knew the scriptures. They had already studied the law. God had promised it long ago, ages ago, to Bethlehem of Judea. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth." Excuse me. "Shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Herod called the wise men back in and said, "Look for him in Bethlehem. And when you find him, let me know. I want to worship him too." Look out. Listen. You need to settle it in your hearts. Not everyone who talks the talk is interested in walking the walk. Don't be fooled. Everybody is not living for God. Not everyone really wants to worship. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. "When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. But the star led them right to the very place where the manger in the stable that was in the stable. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy." I challenge us. It's a challenge for myself. It's a challenge for each of us that we would seek God. We got to hunger after the things of God. His Spirit will lead you into all truth. Amen. We have to still look for Him. It is yet an incredible mission today. How can someone, I can look over the people in our congregation and I know that some have very troubled pasts or very difficult things they came through. And yet God brought us all to the saving grace and knowledge of who Jesus is. What a miracle it is that we know Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. The ultimate oxymoron, a king in a manger, a smelly barn, if you will, of sorts, sheep, goats, born in a stable, had to be smelly, certainly dusty, dirty, reeking of straw and animal smells, and you get the idea. Not pleasant things. You see, the message of His coming is that there is no place in this world or in our lives that is too remote or too messy or too poor for God to reach for us. Amen. He came as the lowest of the low to find us. Amen. I don't know exactly the station in life of every one of our people. Of course, you are living your own life. But wherever you are, Jesus came to give you this message. Amen. Jesus came that you may know who He is. As we race toward the end of our holiday time, out of patience perhaps, out of money sometimes, out of strength at the end, we need to take a fresh look at that Bethlehem morning. Take a fresh look at the stable, that it might make us stable. We need a fresh experience of worship at the feet of Jesus Christ. Worship, you say? Yes, worship. That's what it's all about. Jesus wants us to worship Him. I have learned to worship Jesus. He is the Almighty God, the Holy One, the Savior of the world. It's time to get in our mind the things of Jesus Christ. That we could get out of a self-centered life and look toward Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, that the Magi had to change their routine. They were wise men. They had studied the Scriptures. They knew what was about to happen, and they determined, let's go and find Him. I'll tell you, there's people here today that you know, you've heard, Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen. And now it's time for ourselves to find Him. You see, it is somewhat disturbing, or at least, at the very least, I'm disappointed when I see or I hear of people, even people of God, who hold on to things so tightly that they don't want to let go. They hold on to their traditions. Oh, well, I'm already busy that day. Well, if you're too busy for the things of God, you're too busy. Change your priorities so that God will be at the top. That God becomes most important. Amen. People who are too busy to give their tithes or their offering. Man, it just, ouch. It hurts my heart because I'm disappointed, not in the money they don't give, in that the blessing they're missing. Amen. When we give, God blesses us. You're missing the opportunity to be blessed. You know, the world, doesn't matter how much money you have, the world can just swallow it up. The world never has enough. The rich man wants more money. That's not the answer. The answer is finding Jesus Christ. The answer to a fulfilled and a blessed life is Jesus Christ. If only we could understand His plan. Amen. If we could understand the plan of God, we would be so much better off. Amen. We are blessed when we follow God's plan. Amen. When Jesus has your heart, you will open your treasure as well. Lord, anything I have, Lord, you can use it. You can have it. Amen. They presented him gifts. The first gift that's mentioned is gold. Representative, I believe, of finances. It was something that was precious and had a monetary value. See, too many are fixated on how much it costs. Well, what will it cost me if I lose the blessing of God on my life? The price is too high. That price is too high. Amen. I don't want to lose the blessing of God on my life. Amen. It reminds me of the parable of Jesus, where he taught of the man who had made a banquet and had bid them to come. The reason he was irritated for their excuses was because he had paid the bill for the banquet. You see, in this case, Jesus paid with his blood the price for our salvation. He already paid the price. What it's going to cost us to go to heaven is nothing compared to what it cost Jesus for us to go to heaven. He paid the ultimate price. Amen. The Magi only brought Jesus three things. Gold, or it mentions only three things. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frank was burned to kings, and myrrh unto the Lord. It was the first time that it was mixed. You know, Jesus is both King and Lord. I'll tell you, everything here has meaning in Scripture. Everything here was done by the hand of God. Amen. The wise men brought him their finance, and acknowledged that he was both God and man. And They worshiped him. It's a key factor. They came and gave gifts and worshiped God. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Who are the true worshipers? They that worship him with revelation. You see, I have an understanding that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. I have a revelation that it is He that is my Savior. Amen. I worship Him with a revelation of who Jesus is. True worshipers will know Him. In fact, I don't think you can really be a worshiper of Jesus Christ without knowing who Jesus is. You got to know who He is. Put Him in His right place. He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. And I want to worship Him. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream. There's something else here that I'd like to point out that we can learn from the Magi. Being warned of a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Remember, Herod told them, "Go to Bethlehem, and when you find him, come and tell me so I can go worship him too." It was a ploy. It was a trick. It was so that he might capture him, that he might destroy the king of the Jews. My point here is, there's not just a road to Bethlehem. There's a road from Bethlehem. And they went home another way. Amen. It was the road less traveled. They snuck out of town. They took the back road. They went another way that the king didn't know of. When you go home today and you know who Jesus is, it's going to be another way. I want to live differently than my life before Christ. I don't want to live like I used to live. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to take the same path I used to take. I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to go another way. You leave from the presence of God changed in your life. Your life should have new direction in Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus of Bethlehem, it was immediate. They changed their mind right then. The Magi had to lay down their preset plans. They had to change their directions. There was a new way to depart. Even Joseph and Mary had to leave and flee to Egypt until Herod died. They were running for their lives, for the life of their son. They had new direction. Tell you what, the Lord will lead us. The Lord will guide our lives. Amen. When you encounter Jesus, it should invoke change in your life. It was said in Luke 24 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Now, what's the difference? Yes, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is able to wash away sin in the sight of God. But it's repentance that stops sin. Amen. It's repentance. Turning from your wicked ways. Telling God you're sorry for that transgression and not willing to go that same way again. I got to be willing not to go down that old path again. Willing to change for Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse number 9. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this self-same thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. I tell you what, Jesus has made the difference in my life. Amen. It's Jesus in me that made me different. Woo-hoo, yay! There is another road to Bethlehem. You come one way to God, you leave another way. You leave changed by the blood of the Lamb. You leave changed by the grace and might of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go home another way, changed. The same truth was articulated by the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 46, verse number 9. But when the people of the Lord shall come before the Lord in the solemn feasts, that he entereth in, or he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship, shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he shall enter by the way, or he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in. He shall go out, or he shall go forth against over it. They directed, if you come in the front door, go out the back door. If you come this way, go that way. Change happens when you really meet Jesus. Amen. Really knowing Jesus Christ will change us. After you encounter God, after you have an experience at the altar, it should leave you changed. You know, our world, I live in this same society that you do. In our American society here today, we perhaps in this society may be amongst the wealthiest people in the world. You know, we don't feel wealthy. I don't feel wealthy. But when I look at, you know, God gave me very nice. It's nice to have a warm home. It's nice to have a vehicle I can go to work and go to church. It's nice to have food to eat. It's nice to have raiment to put on. You know, we are rich and blessed beyond most of the world. They don't have it as good as we have it. We are among the wealthiest people in the world. Yet, 80% of our society lives payday to payday. Do you know that one of the booming businesses in America is the storage industry? You don't have enough places to put your stuff. So you buy a storage unit and put your keep more stuff. You know, our life is not about getting more stuff. That's not what it's about. If your house is full and your garage is full and your storage bin is full, does not mean that you win. That means you got too much stuff. With that thought in mind, listen to the Jesus' comments. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and reading from there. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus had a problem with this man's conclusion of his dilemma. The man was thinking, this will I do. Just keep getting more stuff. I'm just going to build bigger barns and keep more stuff. I'm going to get a storage unit, put my stuff. I'm going to get more stuff. That's not what our life is about. It's not about getting more stuff. Verse number 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. He is not rich toward God. So here's the answer. The question is, when is it enough? The answer to that question is, it is too much when your gathering of stuff have left you unable to see the value of spiritual things. When you put your stuff in front of your relationship with God, you got too much stuff. You're going to lose it. Eventually, you're going to lose that stuff. Musicians, would you come? Go ahead and stand with me. I have just a closing comments here. Robert Frost's famous poem, The Road Not Taken, it says, there is before us a decision, much like a fork in the road. We all have the fork in the road, if you will, a decision. Having been where we have been, and having seen what we have seen, we must now decide who we will be. Oh, I have heard the preaching of the name of Jesus. I have been convinced of the Word of God. I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Holy One, the Savior of my life.
Yes, He is. I know. Hallelujah.
But even having seen and heard, having seen miracles, and I've seen miracles, having felt His presence, and I've spoken in tongues filled with the Holy Ghost, I've had that experience. I know who God is. But I still have to decide to worship the Lord. It's something that comes today, and guess what? I should worship the Lord again tomorrow. I should worship the Lord again the next day. In all the days that come, I want to worship the Lord. Don't feel intimidated about responding to Jesus today. You don't have to feel like an outsider. I tell you what, every one of us, all of us, need to have this experience. You can, if you haven't got it, you can have it today. You can come and just have a little discussion with Jesus, repent, tell God you're sorry, turn away from sin. You could be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ today. You could be filled with the Holy Ghost today. Amen. What a great day to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And yet it is our choice. Amen. And you know, even greater than the gifts that the wise men gave, Jesus wants us. He wants you to belong to Him. Amen. Here I am. Jesus, I'm yours. I want to give my life to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you join me today? Come on up to this altar and let's conclude this service with just lifting our hands and magnifying God and recommitting ourselves unto the Lord. Would you lift your hands and worship Him? Would you let Jesus be the sovereign in your life? Let Him be the King of kings and the Lord of lords in your life. Join me. Worship. Magnify the Lord.